I would like to introduce the first speaker, Allie G. from the Wednesday group in Zelianople.
Hi, I'm Allie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Allie.
It's an honor to be asked to do this. You know, it's an honor to be asked to be of service to NA and to, you know, be able to share my experience, strength, and hope. I like talking on topics way better than getting my lead. I feel like it's more directed. And now that I said that, I'll probably blank out in like 10 minutes and it'll be over. But that's okay. You know, it's just, it's one of those things that it's kind of cool praying about it this morning. Because this is always, you know, no matter what, I always get nerves. Anxiety, fear of, like, rejection. Like, everyone's going to get up and leave, like, the moment I get here. You know what I mean? Or, like, yeah. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool to walk through that fear and to continuously practice walking through that fear. You know what I mean? And that's something that I learned in here how to do in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when I first started coming around and people were talking about spiritual principles and stuff, I had no idea what they were talking about, you know. I thought, you know, all my answers were in my head, and that I could think my way out of any problem I had. I was very identified with my intellect and, like, I didn't know that there was any other way. You know what I mean? And I got here and people told me, like, to put all of my belief systems on the table because they were all up for review. And I didn't even understand what that meant. I was just like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? It's been a really cool process of continuously letting my ego go and saying, I don't know. I don't even know what that word means. Like, what I remember, you know, coming in and I was at an Ask-It basket at my sponsor's house and I pulled out the thing and it said humility. And I looked at the girl next to me. I was like, either I'm going to, like, try to bullshit my way through this and pretend like I know what this word means, or, like, I can ask someone for help. And I leaned to her, I was like, what does this word mean? And she was like, I think you're practicing it right now, you know? And, like, having loving people around me to practice that with, like, made all the difference in my recovery, you know? Like, I guess with HOW, whenever, you know, you look at the acronym, you know, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, you know, they talk about how those are, like, the indispensable spiritual principles in this program. And, you know, my experience with learning what each one of those is has been, like, ongoing and is still ongoing. You know, I talked to a predecessor before who told me, like, in each spiritual principle, there's, like, infinite levels of understanding. You know what I mean? That's why I don't just go up to 12 and, like, stop. Like, I keep going through them and keep going through them because, like, there's always more learning. There's always deeper levels of understanding. And, you know, with honesty, first coming in, it was like, I wasn't sure how to not lie. You know what I mean? I was so scared of rejection. I was so auto-tuned to just, like, spitting lies out at people. I remember my father calling me and being like, where are you at? And I remember lying. I just remember being like, oh, I'm on 228, or like a road that I wasn't even on. And because it was so automatic for me to lie about everything. And, you know, it was like I would come to meetings and people would talk about honesty and, like, I didn't, it was like by watching people practice it, like sharing in meetings and talking about what was going on with them in a very real way, in an emotional way, a way that I could connect with, it really taught me, like, what that word even means, you know? I learned to practice honesty in meetings and sharing what was going on with me or watching other people do that, like, talk about that uncomfortable stuff, you know what I mean? Talk about, like, getting real and being like, I'm acting on this and I can't stop and I don't know how and I just, it's so embarrassing and I don't want anybody to know, like, those secrets keep us sick. And by, like, opening up and sharing about it at a group level, like, they're already getting in the solution, you know? And I learned that from other people because it's like, man, my ego doesn't want me to talk about the fact that, like, you know, the other symptoms of my disease. Like, once I put the drugs down, doesn't mean, like, my disease is arrested. You know what I mean? It's like, it's being honest about what I'm struggling with in that moment, or the joy and the beauty in my life, because some part of me doesn't want to, like, celebrate that with other people either. Some part of me wants to be like, oh, maybe I'm being too successful. I don't know. But it's just, like, honestly sharing whatever is going on. And there's been a lot of times where you know, it's scary and my heart's beating real fast and I'm getting like sweaty because I know I'm about to share something that's like really true and really real for me. And that like my disease doesn't want me to share, you know, my disease doesn't want me to connect with other people on any authentic and genuine way because like my disease is isolation. You know, it talks about, in the beginning of how it works, I love it. Right before it gets into the steps, it talks about how we make a prison with our own loneliness, you know, in our active addiction. And, like, that is so true for me, you know. I read that, and it's like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I completely relate with it. And, like, it's so perfect how the text is written. And I remember reading it and being like, I didn't know that this was about me. Like, when they talk about, like, our basic text is written by recovering addicts, for recovering addicts, and it has to do with, like, recovery. You know what I mean? It's like, there's lots of books on the disease of addiction, but this one's based on recovery. And, like, it's just so powerful. It's really powerful being connected in that way. Connecting to a book and then connecting to other people, like... Man, it's just, you know, the way honesty has kind of developed for me is going from that, like, baseline honesty, like, I call it, like, the give back the right change honesty, you know what I mean? And turning it into, like, honest with other people and honest with myself. So there's been sort of this interesting evolution with, like, my honesty and how it keeps growing, and I found that, like, self-honesty, I didn't even know, like, it's so easy for me to be in denial and be lying to myself and not even know until I get this slight gut feeling. Where this thing just hits me in the gut and it just turns just a little bit. And I know that like something is off. Like when I've become so in tuned with myself to know that when something is amiss, like I think my higher power talks to me in a lot of different ways. You know, thinking about like the second step, and it talks to me through people. It talks to me through meetings. It talks to me, you know, through a book I read to this song, and then everything's lining up. And it's like a puzzle all falling into place and suddenly nothing's a coincidence. And it's like I have to believe that with the way my gut talks to me too. You know what I mean? It's like... something will hit me and I'll be like, ooh, maybe I should take a look at that. Like thinking about the 10th step and like taking these inventories throughout the day, like, whoa, self, what's going on? Like learning about self-honesty. You know what I mean? In what ways am I acting? In what ways am I like trying to consciously amend behavior? In what ways am I allowing my higher power or seeing my higher power in my life? You know, like I continuously ask my higher power to show me in undeniable ways because I'm very like thick-skulled. You know what I mean? And it keeps happening. It keeps amazing me. And it's, you know, the more I practice these principles, it's so against my nature. Like, my nature is to, like, withhold and not let my walls down and not let you know what's really going on with me and to release that. Like, the amount of freedom I experience is amazing. And they talk about it in 6 and 7, you know, whenever it's just like, whenever I was writing on 6, what my sponsor, I'm going to do is, you know, write about the defect and then the opposite, like what the replacement would be and what like the resulting feelings would be from acting on the replacement. And with every single one of them, like a consistent thing was like more freedom, more freedom, more freedom. And that's what I found is just like acting on these principles are like the opposite of my defects. So like when I act on them, like I experience more freedom, like, and it's just, it's really indescribable. I wish I could put that feeling into words or like bottle up and give it to people who are struggling and be like, there's hope. Like this feeling is out, like, you know, like, please just hang on. It gets better. Or it changes. Everything changes, you know, and that like you don't have to use today, you know. When I found out that like I didn't have to use no matter what, like that's a freedom in itself. Like there is a different way to live. You know, I never have to feel that way again. You know, these things that people told me when I first came in that, like, really, like shifted my the whole perspective. You know what I mean? And all it took was, like, coming in with this, like, negative, victimized perspective and shifting it just this much. You know what I mean? To let in that one little ray of hope and everything was different, you know? And suddenly it was like I could hear, you know, cicadas at night and I could feel the sun on my face and I could, you know, it wasn't like I was trapped in here all the time. I mean, I still am sometimes, but like not all the time. And, you know, and it was by learning what these things are, like open-mindedness, you know, it's beautiful to come to that process. Like I talked about people telling me that I need to put all my belief systems up for review And I was like, well, I don't really know about that. I'll put this one up for review, or maybe this one. And, you know, I wasn't super moralistic in, when I was in my active addiction, so maybe those couple. So, I don't know. That seems like good enough. But then as I, the longer I stay, the more I see, and when I hear other people share, it's like, it keeps opening my mind up. It's like when I come in, my I'm like a horse with blinders on, and all I can see is my tiny little world and my problems and this and that. And it's like the longer I stay and I hear people's experience, and like I become open-minded to what they're saying, what their suggestions are, because I didn't take, like, people would give me suggestions, and I didn't take all of them, you know? But the ones I did act on, the ones I did take, the ones I walked through this, like, walked through fear in order to do, because none of it comes natural, you know what I mean? Like, the suggestions I did take, I found relief, you know what I mean? And it was like, oh, and then I became more and more open-minded. Like, that kind of kept coupling on itself to actually hear what other people had to say to me and the suggestions, because I kept thinking that I had the answers, you know? And what I found was my answers were pain. And, you know, I would come up with some grand scheme, and then I'd say, I'll figure it out, and I'll try to figure it out. And it's like my thinking. My thinking was my problem, and I kept thinking that it was the answer. And it was like as I started to open my mind and create more space for other people, it's like these blinders I had on became more and more open, more and more open, till suddenly it's just like, holy shit, I have like a panoramic view now. You know what I mean? It's like it continues to keep going that way. The more, you know, I practice this open-mindedness and hearing other people's ways of doing things, you know? It's like I'm so passionate about my own experience, but the minute I like set that aside and let somebody else have their experience and I get to hear and share about it with them, like, the connection that happens with that. And that seems to be like the main underlying thing for these is like, finding connection with other people, like breaking through that prison of loneliness that I created for myself. And it's like these principles help me to do that. One thing I heard about open-mindedness, a sponsor told me about a long time ago. She's like, it's kind of like trying on a coat. Like trying on coats. Like you go to the coat store and you need to get it. And she's like, you just try on one. You kind of, you know, do one of these, see how it feels. And then it's like, oh, I don't know if I like that one. So you just take it off and you just hang it back up. And there's nothing wrong with that coat. You just don't, it doesn't fit you. You know what I mean? You keep doing that until you find what does work for you. You keep trying on these different coats and seeing if you like them. And that's so true. It's been like, there's so many people before me that I'm like, well, what's your experience? You know what I mean? And they'll tell me their experience and I'll give it a try. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm not sure if that one's for me. You know what I mean? And there's no judgment. It's just like, thank you for sharing that with me, but I'm not sure if that one's for me, you know? And, it's cool because that allows me to come to my own belief systems. It allows me to have like my own truth and my own beliefs. And, like, not having to take on other people's beliefs as my own. Because, you know, it's like, oh, I want your acceptance. I'll just believe what you believe, you know? And it's like, I don't have to do that today. I can be true to myself. And I can live within that, you know? And talk about another freedom. And I don't know. So that one just, and it just keeps evolving, you know? It's like, man, things still come to light in my life. And it's like, I'm still a work in progress. And it's a journey. You know, it's like I'll keep wanting to make it about the ends and it's about the journey, you know. And the more I'm in today, the more I'm in the moment, it's like I can embrace how beautiful that process is when I'm like, this is a spiritual journey. It's funny. The JFT a couple weeks ago was talking about how fear and excitement can be the same thing, but dressed up in different clothes. You know what I mean? Like the same feeling. It's just how we look at it. You know, and it's all about perspective, and I find that to be so true for myself. You know what I mean? It's just like I'll be super scared about something, and someone will be like, oh, man, that's really cool. I'm excited. Let me talk to you about it. And it's like, oh, well, maybe that's right. Maybe that is exciting. Maybe that was, like, totally in my head of this fear I created because I want to live from that self-centered fear place, and it's just like that connection brings me out of that isolation yet again. You know, that self-centered fear, that triangle, and, you know, more freedom results from it. And, I don't know, with the willingness part, you know, it's funny because there's been times in my recovery where I've been like, oh, I just want to be willing to pray for willingness. You know what I mean? Like I'm stuck in this trap of like, I want to be willing, but I'm not willing. So I'm going to force, like 6 and 7 again. Like I'm going to force it because I can control it. And it's just like, it never works out. You know, like it's just, it ends up being me coming to finding enough pain to be willing. Like I heard, I heard a guy share the other day, and I loved it. He said there are three things that make me willing: fear, pain, and God. And I loved that. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so true. And it can, my willingness can come from a place of fear, like fear of my disease. That's why I jumped into the steps. That's why I came to meetings. That's why I started doing all this stuff, you know? It's like, and then it's like suddenly that fear transformed into like wanting to actually grow as a person, wanting to actually grow in my spiritual connection. And somehow that transformed for me. So now it's like God is giving me this willingness to like continuously practice these principles, to keep opening myself, because it's all practice and I don't do it perfect by any means. But that's the cool thing, is like I can practice today and have that be enough. You know, it's like I don't have to practice perfection today, which is another, it's a beautiful freedom. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I remember coming in and looking at the steps, and anyone that said God in it, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't like that word. I don't like that it's a capital G. I don't like that it says he. You know what I mean? All this, like, I would make up a million excuses of why I didn't want to work the steps or work certain steps. And I would just want to jump around. Of course, the first one I wanted to go to was 9. And, like, run around and say sorry to everybody. You know what I mean? It was just, like, that's the way my thinking was. But it was cool because I had predecessors here who could stop me and be like, you know, the steps are in order for a reason. And I'd be like, well, I don't really like the ones that say God. And they're like, well, you're not there yet. So, you know, why don't you just do what's in front of you? And that was how it worked for me. You know what I mean? It was, like, just having people who, like, loved me till I could learn to love myself. You know, people who, like, supported me and were compassionate and, you know, loved me enough to say, like, I think you should keep moving on the steps. You know what I mean? Because I would get stagnant and be like, well, I'm learning how to live this. And, like, that's my excuse code for I'm being complacent. You know, it's like I want to manipulate it because, like, I'm good at that. So they loved me enough to say, like, I think you should continue on. You know, you're worth continuing on for, really. And that had to come from within me, that willingness to continue on in my step work. And I just found that, you know, from their love, it's like I found my own self-love through working the steps. I, like, can't, it's just, it's unbelievable what happens when we come in here and we learn, and for me, what I learned, what a spiritual principle was, or I learned how to apply it in my life and how my life changed. Like, you know, the message is so true. And I didn't know if it was true or not when I first got here. You know what I mean? I was just like, maybe, I don't really know. If, you know, the message being like, an addict, any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Like, it's true. And I didn't, like, I'm still like, I get all emotional about it. Because I didn't know life could be this good. I didn't know life could be this way. And it's not, it doesn't have anything, like, yay, my car runs, I have a roof over my head, I have a place that I work where I love, I have a boyfriend I'm in love with. You know what I mean? Like, all of these things are wonderful, but, like, the feeling inside of myself, of, like, the freedom I experienced today, the wholeness I experienced today, the truth I experienced today, I never thought was possible. The respect and the love I have for myself today, like, I can be a woman of dignity today, you know, I can be a woman of integrity today, and that's because of these spiritual principles, that's because of the steps, that's because of you guys loving me, that's because of you guys teaching me, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a wee program, I couldn't do this without you, any of you, and it has just been such a ride, and I'm just gonna keep coming back, and I think that's all I gotta share.
I'd like to thank Allie for speaking, and I would like to introduce the second speaker, Mike P. from the Recovery and Survival Group of NA in the Cumberland/Salem, New Jersey area of NA.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, bud.
So my name is Mike, and I am an addict.
Hey, Mike.
Grateful to be here, grateful to be alive. Thank you very much. In my travels, in my experience, I've listened to thousands of speakers and hundreds of events, and thank you for a clear message of recovery. It was right on point. It did terrific. They asked me to speak on topic here, and I came with some other gentlemen that are going to, you know, that good support group, you know, because we need that Narcotics Anonymous. You know, how? We read one of my pet peeves, right? We read how it works in every meeting, you know. We start off with these readings. If you want what we have to offer and willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. Principles of 12 steps and 12 traditions. And in the steps, in the first three steps, we learn about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we're well on our way, right? And these are our beginning principles that we need to live by and learn. Like when we got clean, you shared about that. I had to learn how to get honest. You know, I got clean at age 42. I'm 52 now. You know, over 10 years ago, I finally got clean. Introduced to Narcotics Anonymous in 1984 and came in and out for all those years. Right? 21 more years of insanity. And it was a journey, you know. They talk about the cha-cha-cha, the one steps 1, 2, and 3, right? And, you know, and it works out. Why? It talks about those that don't do a fourth step, you know, will relapse, you know, and insanity, repeating the same mistakes over and over again, expecting different results, getting clean, you know, working. I wrote on steps 1, 2, and 3, I got a job, I got this, I got that, I'm good, go back to the old people, places, and things, and what happens, we use, you know. So that tells me I never really got gut-level honest about my addiction, about who I was, and where life led me. In the end, a suburban, white, middle-class guy, homeless, eating out of garbage can, living in the streets of New York City. And it had jails, institutions, and death. Because that's where we end up. So my last use, February 13th, 2005, I OD'd for the last time. They shot me up the Narcan 3 times, and I, you know, they talk about the spiritual awakening, and everybody has different spiritual awakenings. I'm coming in and out all those times. You know, my first reaction was to get mad. You know, I finally got to where I wanted to be. I was dead, and they brought me back. You know, my father took me in and out of jail. You know, I'm 42 years old, but nothing, and having to go back to parents' house. You know what I'm saying? At that age, we should be taking care of our parents, and that, you know, they shouldn't still be having to take care of their little kid. The little kid's 42 years old. You know, it was time to grow up. And I had him telling the cop, I called 2 ambulances, one for you, one for me. You know, I see the cop showing him a bag of heroin. I can't move. I got a heavy set, you know, 300 pounds, fat man on my chest, and my eyes open. I think we got him this time. And I was just like, I'm done. I said my prayer, God, wherever I gotta go, whatever I gotta do, I'm done. You know, with the honesty piece, I had to finally get honest with myself. You know, I didn't know how. I didn't know how to tell the truth. You know, you shared about that. You know, it's just like the manipulation, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, degradation. That was the life I ended up at age 42 doing. You know, nobody could believe it. You know, like, who's going to end up? Listen, I'm not like them. I don't shoot dope. I'm not like them. I ain't homeless. I'm not like them. I've never been arrested. I'm not like them. I don't use a needle. I'm not like them. Whatever excuse I could use from the time I got into Narcotics Anonymous to the time I stayed, all those I nevers were gone. Homeless, institutions, overdoses, needles, heroin, stuff that I would never ever touch. I was the addict. There's no more justification, rationalization than I ain't like you. I'm unique. I'm different. I found a place where, you know, I'm a black sheep, and I found the rest of my herd. You know what I mean? I'm here. I got here with an open mind this time. Coming in and out, there was always that little reservation. They tell us we have to rid ourselves of all reservations. How do you do that? Honesty of minus one. Now, I got down here. 10 years I've had 4 sponsors. And I'm friends and love each and every one of them. I'm here with one now. Because I've done the steps, I've done the traditions, I've done some work, I've done service work. But in the beginning, we're talking about how do we get clean. I want what you have. I got to do what you did to get it. How do I get honest? You know, they talk about looking up the definitions of these words so we understand. And she talked about that gut feeling inside. You know, I had 2-3 years clean sometimes. I get that gut feeling inside, crawl. I get that because I was dishonest. I would lie. You know, to tell you where I'm at now is it's like I'm going through something and my sponsor asked me a question. Well, how you doing with that? Well, I'm better with that. I only did this on that day. And he'd be like, oh, so you only snorted coke on the weekend, but you didn't smoke the crack. Or you're snorting heroin and you didn't use the needle. Yeah. And we ain't talking about drugs. We're talking about behaviors. Because if I want what everybody else has, this program is a spiritual program by these principles. So it's no longer about using drugs every day. For me, it's always about the drugs. Because if my behaviors change, sooner or later, my pattern is I go back. You know, and I go right to the gutter. I'm not a, you know, when I use, I'm not this handsome. I'm sorry. I'm just not. You know, 130 pounds and 6 feet tall is not a pretty sight. You know, my first couple years clean, I wouldn't wear a short t-shirt. No. Everybody can see track marks. I go to work every day. Nobody says anything about what's on my arms because, you know, don't notice them unless you're an addict like us and you can say, hey, he used to do something. You know, but something happened at work the other day. And my boss is talking to me. He's just like, I ain't worried about you because you have integrity. And when I'm with my first sponsor, my first year, I'm going through this process. And, you know, we're going through the first step, and it's my first year. And I was working at this company, and they gave the lady that handles the bank and wasn't feeling good. They asked me to go to the bank with this envelope, right? I opened up this envelope. It was $18,000 cash and all the other checks and stuff they're depositing. I'm calling my sponsor. Don't they know who I am? He says, yeah, they do. They know who you are. They know what you did, but they know who you are now. He says, look up the word integrity. You know, like we look up these definitions, right? Steadfast adherence to strict moral ethical codes. Now I got to look up morals and ethics and find, what are my morals? What are my ethics? How can I change to become this person that I was always meant to be? You know, when I say become an addict and become who we used to be. No, I was always an addict. I need to be somebody that I can be. What I'm growing into. How do I get to be a better person? You know? And that's how we, you know, the hour and a half we're in a meeting and we share all the good shit we want. That's 23 and a half hours that we're not in that meeting. How are we living? Are we honest with the people outside? When we make a mistake, can we confront it? Are we doing our 10th step? Are we doing our daily inventory? You know? How honest am I about who I am and what I'm doing now? You know, I understand, you know, when you're new in the first year or two and you're getting excited doing all the service work and you're still acting out on crazy behaviors and you got your sponsors, hey, you need to take a look at this. And they give us suggestions. And it's up to us on whether or not we're going to actually keep acting the fool. Because I did that for all those years. And what did it get me? In and out of jails, institutions. Until I finally died and came back to life. Narcotics Anonymous is what helps me come back to life on a daily basis. I don't do the service work I used to do in the first couple years because I can't. You know, listen, I stopped shooting dope and smoking crack. I had a lot of free time. That's all I did for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I found ways and means to get more. I stopped doing it. You know, I ended up being transported to a hospital. You know, cops are there. They want to arrest me. Doctor says, no, we're keeping them. Come back tomorrow. She puts me on the phone with somebody. You want help? I was like, sure. And the next thing I know, I'm in the ambulance, shuffled off to someplace called New Hope, New Jersey for detox rehab. And a bunch of guys are like, going to a halfway house. I was like, well, that sounds good. I got nowhere else to go. I've burned every bridge, lost everything I ever had multiple times. Because I'm the addict that was in a lot of pain. I heard the guy sharing last night about the pain he was in. His bottom. And that was my bottom when I was 18. That was my bottom when I was 24. That was my bottom when I came back at 29. Now I was 42. I had a lot of friggin' trap doors. You know, I thought I'd never eat out of a garbage can of panhandle. That's not for a white suburban boy to do. You know. But here it is. I'm a white suburban boy panhandling, eating out of a garbage can, running the streets of Washington Heights, Harlem, you name it. Listen, you know, you have a lady walking her kids, you know, in Harlem, and they see me, and they're crossing the street to avoid me. You got to take a look at that. You know, and that was my, you know, talk about the insanity of my addiction. So I work with this sponsor. Back to the story, you know, I was talking to my boss the other day. I think I started this like 10 minutes ago. I'm sorry if I'm all over the place. And he says, you have integrity, right? And he doesn't know what I've been doing for the past 10 years. You know, it's just like, I work for these companies now that actually give me background checks. I was with two different Fortune 500 companies. And I was so scared because of my record, right? You know, last time I got arrested, I had 22 arrests and so many convictions and one felony and the other. They go back so many years. Now I got a decade clean. I'm like, hey, I passed the background check. You know what I mean? And through the grace that I haven't relapsed. It's through working these principles I haven't relapsed. It's about staying in the process. Because once I stop learning, once I stop growing, once I stop and start acting out on these behaviors, once I close my mind, you can't help me, you can't help me, you can't help me. I'm good. I got a job. I got this. I got a car. I have insurance that's legit. You know, I don't need narcotics anonymous anymore. Next thing you know, I'm copping somewhere else, laying in the street. You know, I sold my phone for the next one. And that's how my life was. But that's not how it is. Because I refuse to stop learning, refuse to stop growing. I've done the steps and traditions, and my sponsor is more like, how are you living? How are you living now? Were you honest today? Did you take a moral inventory today? So, you're only smoking crack now, huh? You're not shooting the dope? Is that what a little bit of scratch-off sits to you? You know, I'll be like, motherfucker. I love my sponsor. You know, because he's going to save my life. It's about being honest. So if I don't be honest with him and tell him, hey, you know, I'm okay. I didn't do no scratch-offs. You know? Meanwhile, I'm like, damn, there goes that $200. Motherfucker. Because I got clean. Part of my problem was I got clean, right? I was 42. I got like a year clean. And also I see there's other people doing scratch-offs. I did some scratch-offs. I played $20 and won like $200. I'm like, this shit's great, man. I quit my job at this rate. Yeah. 2 days later, my paycheck was gone. Like, oh, it don't always work like that, huh? You know, you don't beat the house, right? But that feeling I got from it was the same feeling I got from the addiction. It's just a rush to the next one. It's like I'm dope sick. I'm dope sick. Now I got $20 in my pocket. Now I'm not dope sick because I know I'm about to cop. So how much was that psychological, and how much was the goosebumps and the throwing up and the bile that used to come up? Because I remember the horrors of my addiction over and over again, but I don't live through them anymore, but through the process of these steps. And the first thing I had to do was get honest with my first sponsor. You know, because I've done a lot of things. And he's just like, we are not the things we did. We're not. We're no longer held to the lying, cheating, manipulating. He says for every defect, for everything like that, we have a positive we combat it with. And the first one's getting honest. Second one's keeping an open mind. That no matter what, we can get the help from any one of us in here at any time. Like I said, I've heard a lot of qualifying speakers, and I heard a lot of people that aren't. By that I mean somebody coming from another fellowship, and you know, they come up here and they're using whatever and claim a clean time. Listen, we have a clear message on Narcotics Anonymous, and she said it so clearly. We have one thing. Any addict can stop using drugs. Lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. Now, if I want what they have, if I want what my friends have, if I want what my sponsor has, if I want what my wife has, that is a better way to live. I already know how to stay clean. The first thing we do in Narcotics Anonymous is stop using. That's clear in our literature. We stop using drugs. We can't have that open mind with the clouded one. You know, we got to get the drugs out of us before we can have that open mind. And I have an open mind. You guys are doing really good, but I'm in the bathroom, blood dripping down my arm. That's not an open mind. An open mind is, I can get the help here. There's something going on. You talked about the basic tax. I tell people, you know, one version is 107 pages, one version is 103. I don't care which baby blue. Man, that basic text, gray form, line by line, you read it. And you're like, written by addicts, for addicts? Our job is to stay clean one more day. Maybe help another person get that one. I'm going through something. I'm going through a terrible time, and somebody calls me up. I want to use. And you meet them, and they stay clean that one more day. My problem went the fuck away real quick. Man, because the beauty of this is that we're all the same in here. And we're fighting this horrible thing called addiction. And we get honest, we get open-minded, we become willing to do something different. We become willing to help another person, to get that selfless, selfishness out, because this is a selfless program. We give back everything that we can. Everything that we have to give back, we give. Because somebody was there, like you talked about, predecessors being there for us, opening these meetings. Man, Dennis talked about it this morning. Getting that ride to the newcomer, answering that phone call, sponsoring that one person. You know, some people are better at certain things than others. We all have our niche. No matter what it is in Narcotics Anonymous, we're all good at something. We're a good dope fiend, so we're good at something. You know, we're good at lying, manipulating, cheating. Now we get clean. We become respected people of that society. When I'm talking about readings, productive member of that society. You know, it's great to be productive in Narcotics Anonymous, but it's a bridge back to life. Learn how to be honest, open-minded, and willingness is a bridge back to that life, to society. What we do in the other 23 hours out there, you know, 22 and a half hours that we live in life in the streets. You know, we don't come in here and share a story and go beat our dog. We don't go stealing from work. If we are, we haven't learned these principles yet, and we need to keep coming back. We don't close the door because we're all act out on those behaviors. But with the predecessors here that are living a new way of life, they learn to be spiritual. We're talking about spiritual programs. And honesty is one of the first ones we learn how to become honest. I had to practice it because just like you, I would lie just for the sake of lying. And I found out I had, in my second job in recovery, I finally got a clear mind to get a decent job. And it gave me a chance, and I wired something wrong and blew a motor, a pump. And I says, I made this mistake, I did this. I don't know, I'm going to fix this way. And I'm like, I didn't blame it on something else, or it was a shortness. And it was no big deal. Everybody's making a mistake like that once in a while. And that just like blew my mind. I was honest. And people appreciate that. You know, because they know when you're lying. And people, you know, listen. We lied to everybody. And we don't just lie to ourselves. You know, it's just like now, if we lie to our sponsor when you're newcomers, we just sit there, okay, here's some suggestions, do what you want. You know, we can't make a sponsor do what they want, do what we want. We got to just guide them along the way and love them along the way. You know, and I'm like, you're not lying to me, you're lying to yourself. We're going to practice some spiritual principles here. And I heard Rich speaking about the spiritual principle of love, from which all others are based. It's like all our spiritual, you know, all our character defects, we talked about it, come from basically fear. You know? Now, if all the spiritual principles, on the other hand, come from love, everything's okay. If I learn how to love myself, I can be honest. And I can't learn to love you unless I learn how to love myself. For that, I have to get honest. I have to be open-minded. I'm okay with who I am today. And I appreciate who I am and the things that have been done for me in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, there's a lot of work to put a committee together to get this place every year and open this up for addicts to come out here. I mean, we're out here in the mountains, the fresh air, the sun is shining, some big white puffy clouds up there, and beautiful weather. And we're sitting out here listening to me. Thank you guys, by the way. You know, it's a blessing. And you spoke on so much about how this process worked for you. And that's what Narcotics Anonymous is. It's our experiences, our collective experiences on how we work this program. And it's not going to work unless we stop using drugs. It's not going to work unless we get honest, open-minded and willing. Because I had become willing to do things I didn't want to do. You know, because I got clean. I could become lazy. I could become dishonest. You know, all these defects. I'm not willing to do that. I ain't gonna listen to that person. That person keeps sharing the same shit all the time. You know, and we all been there. I'll stop sharing about the problem and share about the solution. So maybe sometimes it's our turn to bring the meeting back to where it needs to be. I had experience in that area, and this is what I did. And that's what I listen for. I listen for people that went through a problem and got to the other side. So if I have issues in a relationship and I talk to my sponsor or somebody else, I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. That's a simple solution, you know. And if you don't have the open mind, if you don't have the willingness, and if I didn't have the honesty, it's not going to work. Now, on days where I don't work the program as much as I can, I need to get back to it. There's not a day that goes by, this is 10 years clean, not a day goes by I don't speak to another recovering addict. A day goes by and I'll read some sort of recovery literature. Modern technology has changed. I have everything from, basically I have every piece of literature Narcotics Anonymous has ever produced. Even stuff that, pathways, you know, stuff that people have written that haven't been approved by Narcotics Anonymous. Anything that could help me in my addiction, I'll read, I'll study, and I'll try to keep an open mind and make it work. You know, whatever works for me may not have worked 10 years ago. But I'm not at the point of desperation I was 10 years ago. I'm really not. Like I said, for me today, it's not about you battling using drugs. It's about battling doing a gambling, and it might be battling looking at women or something, you know, whatever. That is not too much of an issue anymore. That's through grace. That's through working this program. That's through getting honest with who I am. I'm okay in work. You know, at 52, my back hurts. I don't want to do all the overtime they want to give me. And that's okay. I can be honest with my boss and tell them that. And when they need help, I'm there for them. And I've been blessed. I've been blessed to be able to hold a job. You know, when you first get clean, my utter desperation, I couldn't hold a job in the beginning. They gave us jobs working at places for minimum wage doing... They laughing because they know what I'm talking about. You know, you might be packing fruit or packing glass all day. And that's not me. But to get humble, which is another spiritual principle, I had to do whatever was needed to get clean. I had to start where I had to start. You know, with the clothes on my back, I'm sure about that too, but that's why I got there. Clothes on my back, no driver's license, no bank account, no credit history for 10 years, no nothing. You know, by working these steps and getting honest, having that open mind, being willing, I've been blessed. Beyond my wildest dreams, if you would have told me 11 years ago that, you know, they're going to waive your credit limits and give you a revolving credit limit or whatever you want, that would have been a joke. If you would have told me I would have owned a home or half an acre and, you know, you're planting peach trees and pear trees and all that other stuff, that would have been a joke. You guys are pulling my leg, you know. And it's not about the material things, but I'm happy to have the material things, blessed by this program, by working these principles. That's not to say I could lose it. You know, in recovery, we go through a lot of things in here. There's a lot of people that pass away. There's death. You know, and then we'll talk about those reservations earlier. So if I'm honest with myself, those reservations go away. I mean, that's what I heard. If this person passes away, I'm going to use. Listen, if that person passes away, there's nothing more that they ever wanted to do other than stay clean. Because you can show up for the family, you can show up and feel your grief. Because it's okay to feel feelings today. Because that's, you know, used. Face everything and recover, or F everything and run. Because I didn't want... Well, it tells us in our literature, we use over our inability to deal with our feelings, right? So we use over our feelings. My belief is, I used over my inability to deal with my feelings. If I can't deal with my feelings, You know, how am I ever going to get honest? You know, learning how to, it's okay, because the pain goes away. It gets lessened. My horrors of addiction, and we're talking about some of them on the way up here. I'm not that person. I don't have to live in that nightmare anymore. I no longer have those nightmares. Because, I don't know, if you're like me, active addiction was a living hell. You know, my problem wasn't just drugs, it was me. And until I come to understand that, until I was guided along this journey, this basic text with these spiritual principles on a new way to live, I couldn't change. Until I had that open mind. And change was gradual. I jumped into this program this time. The people I met in 84 were still clean. People I met when 91 when I came back in, they were still clean. People in the late 90s when I came back in were still clean. And the last time I relapsed was 13 years of horror. And I came back at age 42. You know? When I woke up, I had gray hair. I was old. I missed generations of music. You know, I'm so stuck in my 80s music because, you know, you're doing what I was doing. It's not like you were hanging out with people and getting whatever that decade of culture was. To me, it was where I was extradited to, what county jail was in, and what detox rehab was in for Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving. It's not about them so much forgiving me. Because I had to get honest about that. When I first got clean, if I ever saw my brother again, I'd beat him to death with a baseball bat. You know, he calls me constantly now and we talk. You know? Because I have to take responsibility for my actions. And if I don't become willing to do these steps, well, I know what the alternative is. And when you've been to jails, when you've been to institutions, and when you've been dead for 10 minutes, I've tried that way. I like this way better myself. I hope you do too. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah.